49. Nate wanted to go to Debbie and Clive's apartment right away, but he changed his mind after climbing the ladder and the two sets of steps that got him to ground level. Veek pulled his arm across her shoulders and helped him walk. He told her about the generators, the fault line, and the cutaway diagram they'd found. Roger and Zila stopped at the first floor and both gave him ragged salutes and smiles.
"Conquering heroes," said Roger.
Nate returned the salutes before continuing up the back stairwell with Veek. His legs were trembling.
"So," she said as they stepped onto the lounge landing, "Zila's not going up to her apartment."
"Doesn't look like," he agreed. They went up a few more steps.
"Her and Roger," said Veek.
He glanced at her.
"I wouldn't have pegged you as the jealous type, Velma."
"Jealous?"
She thought about it and snorted back a laugh.
"Oh, yeah, that's what calls to me, a guy who shaves once a week and doesn't use articles or pronouns half the time."
Nate had a follow-up question, but exhaustion settled on him like a lead apron. He'd been eager to get back and see Veek's face light up when he told her about the generator room. With that done, his body was shutting down. Every step took a major effort. Tim was waiting for them at the top landing.
"Didn't think we'd see you so soon," he said. "What have you got for us?"
"Big stuff," said Nate. "Tons of pictures."
"There's a bunch of generators down there," said Veek, "running off a fault line."
Tim's eyebrows went up.
"How deep down are we talking?"
"About a mile," said Nate. He tried to say something else and yawned.
"Dead on your feet," said Tim with a nod. "Let's talk about it tomorrow."
Nate had a response for that too, but couldn't remember what it was. He relented to the terrible weight of his eyelids for a moment. When he opened them, he was in his apartment, and his sneaker was trying to get off his foot. Veek sat on his steamer trunk with his right foot in her lap. The laces were undone, and she tugged on the sole. It popped off in her hand.
"Oh, God," she said, wrinkling her nose. "You've been walking for 2 days, that's for sure."
She tugged off the sock with two fingers, held it like a dirty diaper, and set his bare foot down on the floor. The sock flew toward the bathroom, and she picked up the other sneaker. The knot fell apart under her fingers, and Nate realized he was stretched out on his couch with a pillow under his head.
"Just go back to sleep," said Veek.
She dragged a thin blanket over him.
"Like Tim said, we can talk about it tomorrow."
He was going to answer this time for sure. He even had a clever joke about her pulling his clothes off. And then he was asleep. "This room was marked Control," said Nate the next morning. He'd been out for 10 hours straight. He hadn't slept that many hours in a row since college. He turned in a slow circle. He looked at the towering walls and window of Clive and Debbie's apartment. "It's the control room." Tim looked up at the high ceiling.
"Controlling what, though?"
"The building," said Veek.
"Yeah, but what does that mean?" said Tim. "Is there something in here that controls the temperature or the water pressure or the power usage or..."
He shrugged.
"How do you control a building?"
"It's got to have something to do with the walls in here," said Nate. Clive looked around his apartment.
"The fact that they're 2 stories tall or the fact that they're wood?"
Nate eyed the tall planks.
"I don't know," he said.
"Yes?
Both?
This is the only place with walls that aren't painted, so we know there wasn't something written here, but we know it's a special room because it's built different than all the rest."
"But they're all different," said Tim.
Veek nodded.
"Right, but this is seriously different. It's like apples and oranges and a cinder block. So what's in here that makes it special?"
"It's got a chandelier," said Tim. "I've helped Oscar change bulbs on it twice," said Clive. "If it was the big secret, I don't think he would have let me get that close to it."
"Unless he doesn't know it's the secret," said Nate.
"I have a question," said Debbie.
"Sure," Nate said.
"Did the diagram say control room, or did it just say control? There's a difference."
"How so?"
asked Tim.
"Well, if it's just control, then it might mean like a control group," she said. "The one you don't do anything to, so you've got a baseline."
"Like an experiment," Tim said.
Debbie nodded. Nate wished he had Zila's pictures.
"I think it was just control," he said.
"Well, that's a pleasant thought," murmured Clive.
Veek's lip twisted up.
"What are you worried about? If that's right, we're the lab rats and you're the one getting sugar pills."
"Yeah," said Debbie. "But all the rats get dissected at the end of the trials. That's just the way it goes." Nate stood by the couch and studied the walls.
There's got to be something else, he said. You haven't noticed anything else, anything at all?
Nope, said Debbie.
Nothing's attached to them, said Clive.
Oh, Debbie said. Yeah, there's that.
Nate looked at them.
What do you mean?
Clive gestured at their kitchen area.
Nothing's attached to the walls, anywhere. The counter, the sink, the cabinets, it's all a big freestanding piece, like an entertainment center or something. There's a 5-inch gap between the counters and the wall.
He pointed down.
The outlets aren't even in the walls. They're all in the floor.
You never told me that, said Vic.
Debbie shrugged.
With all the things you found, it just seemed like minor weirdness.
Nate went to the counters and stretched his arm in the space behind them. His fingertips parted cobwebs and brushed something that whisked away. The wood was lacquer smooth behind the counter, too.
There's nothing there, said Debbie. I've dropped a dozen forks and spoons back there and had to go after them.
And a spatula, said Clive. It ended up dead center in the middle. Took forever to get that damned thing out.
Language, said Debbie. And I told you to just leave it.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have a spatula.
We could have got one at the 99-cent store.
Vic leaned over Nate and her phone shined white light into the space. He glanced up at her.
High tech to the rescue? Velma's the smart one, she said. I don't see anything.
Neither do I.
Told you,
said Debbie. Nate slid his arm out and tapped his fingers on the counter.
If there was something to find, he said after a moment, if you were going to hide something, you wouldn't put it down low.
Tim nodded.
You wouldn't want somebody stumbling across it by accident.
Right, said Nate.
So you'd put it where someone could only find it if they were looking for it. He pointed above his head.
And who's going to stumble across something 12 or 13 feet up?
Vic already had eyes on the loft platform.
Can I look? I'll go with you, said Debbie.
They climbed the staircase and started to pore over boards around the bed.
I looked at the walls a lot when I built the loft, said Clive. I'm pretty sure there's nothing up there.
How sure?
Asked Nate.
The other man shrugged. I thought it was pretty amazing, all this hardwood, he said. And I know I checked it again when we moved the furniture up there. The guy I asked to help was a little rambunctious and kept hitting the walls. I was freaking out about how much it would cost to repair them if one of the boards got gouged or cracked. And you never saw anything at all? Asked Tim.
Clive shook his head and shrugged again.
Not up there. And we've been up there every night for 2 years. Debbie even studies up there sometimes.
The women took another 10 minutes.
Nope, Debbie called down. We can't find anything. We've got to get out there and check out the rest of it, said Vic.
She gestured at the high walls.
We need a ladder.